Kitiatna.
Yes.
Yes. He was UNPMP. And Sutri was in a river. This was when he got married. That I believe in 19, probably 19, I don't quite remember the particular year. Must be about
1940s.
Mm-hmm. In the state council days. Yeah.
You see, I was thinking that this community vote might have counted in some electorates.
Who?
The loss of the Batgama community vote, the Asok Kanradu's community vote, may have tipped the scales in certain electorates.
Because this man, Asok Karunaratne, campaigned for the UNP all over. Now, his people are scattered all over. There are a certain section in Atagali district also. He campaigned all over. So naturally, that class of people might have, because the depressed class people still listen to one of their own men who have listened to some position, they listen to him.
What about Vikramasurya? Did he also carry some people with him?
Some
votes with him.
Oh yes.
All over Ceylon or only in his constituency?
Only his constituency. Vikramasurya.
That Devi Nora?
Devi Nora. MP for Devi Nora. He won the seat as an SLSP man. But then in the 1965 government, when the government reshuffled, I hear he was a parliamentary secretary to the Ministry of Justice. Then when the government was reshuffled, he was given no place. So he got very angry, immediately changed his mind. And when in 1964, when the
crossover,
yes, when the occasion came for the voting of that budget, I believe, some important matters on which we lost, I was asked to speak to Kosovo. I said, I can't speak to him, how can I speak to him? He was the parliament secretary, in the reshuffle, he was committed. So what am I going to tell him? Otherwise, he was a very good friend of mine. Everybody knew it. Good friend of mine. And he said, if you speak to him, he'll be all right. But my difficulty is, what am I going to say? If you ask me, turn around and ask me, you people have never wanted me because you let me down. But then he reshuffled. What answer can I give?
People say that P.P. De Silva was also dissatisfied since 1960 because he was hoping to be the leader of the party.
That's right. C.P. De Silva, in 1960 March election, he was the leader of the party. He was the leader of the party and we fought under him, you see. It was a remarkable thing that we came so close to UNP that we did not give the UNP an absolute majority. Somehow we managed it. But C.P. De Silva was given the chance. He couldn't. Then it was C.P. De Silva and others, several others, myself, C.P. De Silva, a number of others who went and begged them, Mr. Bandana, to accept the party.
But I was wondering whether there was a feeling within the party that C.P. De Silva was not good as a leader, that he didn't have the image that Bandaranaike would have.
Yes. Oh yes, right. After Mr. Bandaranaike, so it was... not possible to think of C.P. De Silva as a leader.
Mm.
And the other thing is, we also had to accept that. A lot of SLF people felt that on communal grounds also, generally, the people of the country might not support C.P. De Silva on communal grounds.
Yes, and when you're looking at the electoral considerations,
that's right.
you felt that you have to have a leader from the majority community.
Yes, that's right. That's what it is. Why. And everybody saw when C.P. De Silva made the leader, everybody, number of people were dissatisfied. But then we couldn't do anything because he was elected leader. So we fought under him. And C.P. De Silva, as a leader, fared very poor, very, very poor in the general election.
Mm-hmm. But what do you think ultimately led him to cross over his group? There were about four or five from his community.
C.P. De Silva?
Yes.
C.P., I think, when this coalition government was formed with the LSSP, C.P. De Silva got frightened that she will be ousted. the people like Anand Pereira and others. Now, C.P. De Silva is not an extreme socialist. He's a socialist, but not one of the SSP class. So, C.P. De Silva and his relations and all that, his relations actually got around him and told him, you have no future before, in this LSP. And these LSSP people also went on saying all kinds of things, you see. There are reactionaries in the government, they must get it off and all that sort of thing. So P.C. Pisa got frightened that he has no future in this LSP. Very quietly, changed over. Mm-hmm.
I was wondering whether there were certain monetary inducements too.
That was also there. I can't say definitely, but that's a talk. Okay. That monetary influence also was there.
I was wondering, for instance, what led Albert Silva, who is a member of the Fisher community.
Pardon?
Albert Silva. I was wondering what led him to cross over.
That's money, pure money. That is that moral man.
Yes.
Yeah, pure money. Well, at that time, the Associated Newspapers, Lake House and Earth, on one side, the UNP on the other side, and I believe some others, they were working very hard. They both, the actual defeat of the government was because they had spent money very lavishly.
Even Vikramasuriya, I suppose, they might have persuaded partly on these grounds.
It's quite possible, but then Vikramasuriya had other grounds. Vikramasuriya, because he felt that he was in charge of it. Being a parliament secretary, when the reshuffling of the government came, he was let down. He was omitted altogether. So Vikramasuriya is a man of wealth. His father was a wealthy man. So I don't think he was out for money. But my experience is that it's the money people who like to have money. I cannot say that Vikramasuriya received any money. But I heard that some others, quite a number of others.
Leilava?
Ratpat Menji. Then this Tilakaratna, this Rajgaman, Tilakaratna. Then Ampari Man, Samsoita, Ampari Man, and there are about seven or eight people they bought over. They took the balance, you know, by one vote.
So I was wondering whether Mrs. Bandar Nayaka was not as aware of these factors as Mr. Bandar Nayaka was, you know. The need to keep all groups together, all communities, you had to give them a bit here, bit
there. I don't think she was aware, you see, because the day CP was going to cross over, the UNP and the other people worked on the ground, you see, behind the scenes. The day CP was going to cross over, Mr. Bandar Nayaka sent for me. I went. That was at about 1 or 1:30. They would be, did you hear that CP was going to walk away from the government? With about 10 or 12 others, you see, you must go and stop it. So I said, madam, I said that I am trying to do it, but I don't like to go alone. I want somebody else also, because suppose they are charging it against me, so I just want to go alone. So I said, whom do you want? I want Felix Dias, I said. He said, all right, I'll bring up Felix Dias, you better go home, have your lunch and come. I had my lunch and Felix Dias was there. Oh, the whole lunch. Went to sit in the So he was upstairs, he usually had got a room upstairs. He was in his room and I told one of the people there, tell him that I have come. So he came down and said, G.P., what are you doing? You and I have been working together a long time, all of us have been working together all this time. And I was telling him, I understand you are going to walk out. And then he said, you know, I have decided about it, AP, they know you are talking. You know, I wanted some money for various development schemes, the land development scheme, but Anandara was always down on me. He never gave a single cent. I sent up a requisition for so many million, it was reduced to just about a fraction of it, and how can I carry on my ministry? And I have decided this one day, it's not talking. And he then walked up upstairs. So Philip also spoke to him. So Mr. Bandar did not till then, till the day. Then it was that day at about 5 o'clock. That he voted against the government of Bishop, 5 o'clock, 5:30.
Of course, isn't it correct to say that Mrs. Bandar Nayaka entered politics in 1960,
yeah,
very reluctantly?
Yes, except reluctantly, because this season. she thought Mr. Bandar Nagar's assassination took place in 1959. If she take to politics at that time, she thought that people will blame her, find fault with her, because this woman, husband died only just a few months ago, and now she is trying to come forward. She accepted reluctant. Actually, on compulsion. A lot of us had to bring compulsion. He said, the party will be ruined. Actually, the Congress. He said, we have no leader. So, Mrs. Bandar Nayaka, as the widow of the late Prime Minister, who was respected by the country, you see, we felt that. So, if she was told at the beginning, you be there for a few months. That was winter general election. Be there for a few months if you don't like, and give it up, and elect somebody else. It was under those circumstances that she came. But then once she came there, she stayed on.
She would have been very unfamiliar with the process of government once she became Prime Minister after July 1960.
What is?
She would have been very unfamiliar with,
very unfamiliar.
So, I was wondering how she managed cabinet meetings and acted as chairman and...
Actually, she sat there and nobody brought in on controversial matters. Nobody brought in on controversial matters because all the cabinet ministers at that time were people who wanted to carry on the government somehow or other. They also did not harass her too much. And some questions came up, and we used to argue out, and then come to some kind of a decision. Ms. Bandar Nayaka did not interfere.
But I was wondering whether, because she was inexperienced,
yes. This
meant that a few people could get special positions, that she might even lean, say, on her brother, or on a private secretary, or, you know, on the closer...
No doubt, she must have been misled by some people who were behind her. Now, even the formation of the cabinet, you see? Myself, Mathi Parthaya Nayaka, Bahaduddin Mohammed, and Yagaratna. Those are the people who were there.
You mean five of you got together and formed the cabinet?
Everybody. And then maybe it's Mr. Mathi Parthaya Nayaka got this and that and that industry, and got the coming department, coming minister, industry, and he got some 22 departments, 22 or 23 departments. Then it went on, I did not speak. Okay. Then...
So it was a sort of real wrangler?
Yes.
Shuffle?
Yeah. Then, Majipal wanted home affairs, industries. Actually, he was minister of a ministry. About three or four ministries rolled into one. You see, home affairs, industry, social services, cultural affairs, all that.
Then, why didn't you continue as Minister of Home Affairs?
I had given it up in 1950 when Mr. Bandar Nayaka was there also, because I did not insist on anything. You see, Mr. Bandar Nayaka, I was in 1956, I was Minister of Home Affairs, and Mr. Ilangaratna was the Minister of Labour. Then after that Kurunagala meeting, there was certain, Mr. Bandar Nayaka felt that some of the people were rather shaken up, you see, that the government might break. Philip Gunawadan resigned. After that, there was trouble between Philip Gunawadan and the other minister. After that, Ilangaratna went to Mr. Bandar Nayaka and told him, I have done what I could for the Labour Ministry. Now, I must be a ministry where I can meet the general public. Labour Ministry is not a place like that and all the rest of them. He wanted the Home Ministry. So Mr. Bandar Nayaka was in a difficult position. And so then there were a lot of suggestions and things like
that.
And finally, he asked me to accept a bit of
health.
So I would have done anything just to ease Mr. Bandar Nayaka's position, you see, that way, so that I accepted health. Then in the 1960s, when all these people distributed the ministries among them, finance nobody wanted, so it was given to Philip. I suggested myself, that Philip said it. Philip was not in that small committee who discussed about cabinet That is.
Well, Mrs. Bandaranaike there.
Mrs. Bandaranaike there, she was beside it.
She, you?
She herself, Badruddin Muhammad, myself, Ilangaratna, Mathi Parthen Naike. So, Mathi Parthen Naike, home affairs and industries and processes and all that is set aside. Then, Ilangaratna wanted commerce and industries and things like that. Then, Kalugande was given something else. Then Mrs. Bandaranaike and some others all then suggested that Badruddin Muhammad should take a ministry of education. He had no seat. Oh, we will give you one of the appointed seats and you take it up. And education ministry and that way. Then Mrs. Bandaranaike asked, hey, what will you take? Well, what is left now? What is left? So he laughed. Well, most of the things have been distributed, isn't it? Will you take health? I said, yes, I'll take health.
Did you have doubts about allowing Mrs. Bandaranaike to be in the Senate?
Hmm?
Did you have some doubts about allowing Mrs. Bandaranaike to be a senator rather than
a member of parliament?
Yes.
Well, there was a lot of talk about it. At that time, Mrs. Bandaranaike did not want to contest the seat in 1996, but there were some people who were prepared to resign their seats. Hello, Mr. Bandaranaike got elected. But Mr. Bandaranaike did not like to contest at that time. She did not want to contest. She did not want to contest an unsafe seat. But after the other was safer seat. Nobody can defeat her there. So, in the 1960 parliament, you see, she did not want to contest it at all. And there were by-elections also. Even then, at one stage, some people were insisting that she should contest Anuradhapura. Then I was the leader of the Senate, so she came to the Senate. And she sent for me and listened to these people lying, she asked me to contest this place. I have these three children, I have to look after these children, all these things and like that. You will have to put me out of this. Okay. They are coming here to discuss with me at 4:30, this is the tea interval. So all these people came.
Who were they?
Mathi Parthen Naike, Felix Dias, and some people from Anuradhapura constituency. Mathi Parthen Naike, that Anuradhapura is his area. And several others. So then they discussed, he said, and before I was ready to go, I said, I'm opposed to the Prime Minister to contest the seat at this stage, I said. I'm better to oppose for this reason. That kind of really nobody talked. Nobody talked. I saved her at that time.
Would it be correct to say that in the first few years, she leaned heavily on Felix Dias and Maithripala? But gradually she seems to have,
you know,
found her feet and known a lot about politics.
Yeah. You know, the trouble was, I never interfered unless my opinions asked. You see, I was sent for. Except matters pertaining to my ministry, in other matters I never went and forced my opinion down the road. She used to send for me and ask me what I thought. In such cases I used to do, but other people were not like that. They used to interfere. Felix Dias was her parliamentary secretary. Felix Dias, in fact, attached more importance to the office of parliamentary secretary than to the Minister of Finance itself. And she was her parliamentary secretary. And then she did lean heavily. That's quite true. Quite true.
But gradually, hasn't she been able to grasp something about administration as well as politics?
Later on she grasped. She learned very quickly, very quickly.
How long did she take to gain control of the cabinet? Because at the start it would seem that she was in the background, but gradually she became a real chairman. Is that correct?
Yes. What did you know? About 2 years, I mean. Within 2 years, at the end of 2 years, she had to argue with the cabinet members and what's that question? And she had to carry away.
Led to all these changes in the ministership of finance during the 60-65 period.
Because Felix Dias in the second or the third
yes.
budget, he wanted to reduced the rice ration by half a measure. You see, I was in favor of it for this reason. You see, the rice subsidy is one of the most difficult things for any government. No government can carry on as long as rice subsidy. It's very difficult. That's what I thought. I still think so. So I thought some beginning must be made. And the SLFP government is the only government that can then make that beginning. Therefore, I entered the agreement with Philip Stiles. And I support him. But Maitri Pala Sirinayake and TBC law, they opposed to it. All the other people could be got wrong. These two stood firm. No, they are opposed to it. So nothing would be done. Then Philip resigned from the cabinet. He went to the parliament also with that proposal. And finally he had withdrawn.
So isn't it correct to say that there was a revolt within the whole SLSP, that even the backbenchers were opposed to this?
Some of the backbenchers were opposed to this.
Who were the most, speaking the most strongly against it?
I believe these two, all those people whom Maitripala and T.P. Sirok and he could influence, Balapitiya for instance, Lakshmana Selva, did a posting. They talk of resigning from the government and resigning from parliament and contest the seat on the right session. Okay? He said, "Sir, we could be carried on." So he resigned. Then T.P. Sirok made the Minister of Finance. He was asked to accept the Minister of Finance. Then, in addition to the Minister of Lands, I believe, later on, he was resigned. One fine day.
Why?
I don't know. Some reason or other. Something or other. Probably he thought that Minister of Finance is a very difficult job at which anybody can fall and get into trouble. That's not the truth. So he resigned. Then there was nobody to accept that. Finally, I believe Nagaratna was there for a short time.
And then Kalugala.
Yes. And then Kalugala.
Why did
Ilangaratna
give up?
Ilangaratna also gave up for some reason or something or other. I said he couldn't do this both, finance and trade and commerce and all that kind. Uh-huh. Then when Kalugala met us, somebody interfered and arranged about this coalition.
What was your own attitude to the coalition?
What?
What was your own view about coalition with the left?
You mean who?
Your opinion.
It is a mistake. SLF should never have that kind of coalition. I still think it's a mistake to carry on with. Mm-hmm.
Why?
For one thing, these LSSP people were the people who gave no quote to Mr. Bandarnaik when he was there. He had a lot of mistakes. And they have got over the trade unions. They had organized strike after strike. That's one thing. And the other thing was, one of their main arguments against SLFP was that the SLFP is for the middle path policy. The middle path man has no sandwich at all. A man must be either on the left or on the right. Middle path man has no. They were for exchange, either on the right or the left. Middle path man has no right or a thing. So people who said that, they will never change their views with regard to SLFP. They are joining the SLFP as LSSP people. No, they have not accepted the SLFP policy, but they seem to join on a certain agreed principles, which is just an ad hoc arrangement that is come to form the government. Because what I thought was the LSSP will make use of the SLFP attempt and finally they will become masters of the situation and do that. And I have no faith still with the LSSP as a ruling party of this country. I hope it will never come.
But surely the LSSP haven't got much strength in the country in terms of votes, in terms of seats. They have only about 10 seats.
LSSP. That is why you joined the SLFP.
Yes.
Their only chance to come into power is by attaching themselves to the SLFP. And then finally, once they get a foothold, I mean, it's a method of Russia and other places. First peaceful infiltration, in their family and large their capacity.
Yes, but isn't Mrs. Bandaranaike so popular in the country
yes.
that they can't overthrow her? She can always maintain control because she has this popular support.
That is why they will somehow or other get into certain important important ministries. And we can discredit Mrs. Bandaranaike. Mr. Bandaranaike position is very strong now or at that time. They can discredit that government. At any time they can discredit by certain ways. And then there are the Minister of Finance, Portfolio of Finance. It's a very easy matter for Minister of Finance to put any minister in trouble. He can quote the person and say, I have no money. I was opposed to coalition from the very beginning. Very beginning I was opposed.
But what led to the coalition? You had a straight majority in July 1960.
Huh?
Straight majority.
Well, I really do not know how this coalition came up. This has always been worked up at Norelia and Mrs. Bandaranaike was at Norelia. She was Norelia and Nantara was Norelia. This Mrs. Vivian Gunawadhan was at Norelia. Ilangaratna was the go-between. Ilangaratna and Badrul Mahamad. They were the go-between. How this managed, in fact, Ramte, at that time, is like, he said, I understand this, it's an accomplishment. I said, I don't think so, because we have not been told anything. So when she came down to Colombo, the first cabinet meeting, the night, we had gone till about 12 o'clock at night. So, every week was asked, and he said, Bandaranaike asked me, maybe what are your views? I said, Madam, do you actually want my views? Oh, yes, we want, of course you must have your views. I said, if you think so, I'm opposed to the coalition, I said, and I give my reason, this reason, this reason, this reason, I'm opposed to it, I said. The LSSP is trying to go and join us, not because they love us, but because they want power, I said.
How many in the cabinet took your point of view?
All these people did. Felix was in my favor. Michael Srivadana was there. Then Minister of Justice, unfortunately Minister of Justice is he's a politician on his way. He had the same view as I did. And this man, Minister of Post, Pelpular, he was not a strong man, strong personality. He was with me. Only people who was with them was Maitri Panasena Nayaka, Badruddin Mohammed, Ilangaratna. Kalu Galli is a man whom we are not sure of. He's on that side. Sometimes when he speaks to me, he's on my side. When he speaks to me, on that side. But unfortunately, part of it is none of these people spoke at that meeting. CP? CP also was silent. CP was silent. When I was arguing, CP was sort of helping me. He said, yeah, what did he say? And things like that. And even Felix, that very night, Felix came home early, late at night. And told me, I'm entirely with you in this matter. I said, what the good of you being entirely with me, Felix, when you don't open your mouth? I said, AP, my difficulty is I'm a Christian. And the moment I assert myself, they will say, because I'm a Christian, I said, what nonsense, don't talk rubbish. You see, Christians are not discussed at that extent in this country, I said, you see, don't think like that, you see. No, I know you don't. But there are other people who will, even if it is not so, they will say, that Felix is a Christian, he is trying to put the government in trouble because it is gender property. That's why we see.
But isn't it correct to say that the support which the SLSP had in Parliament, the support in Parliament,
yeah.
was declining because some people had crossed over and the position of the party was weakening and the popularity of the party in the country was declining. Did she feel that she needed some strength?
At that time?
Yes.
Yes, to some extent, that was so.
I was wondering whether she had been influenced by discussions with some embassies. I was thinking of the Yugoslav embassy in particular, who said that she must get some good personnel into her cabinet, people who can do things.
Whether any foreign embassies were behind that, I don't know. But the impression might have been given in her that necessary to get some foreign, some outside elements into the cabinet, some people who can man certain portfolios of the private.
Didn't you go and speak to her privately and ask her why she is taking this step?
I had no time. No time at all. You see, she's returned from Norelia, and she came to the cabinet meeting, and she had packed inside her. That very day, she had picked up a committee meeting of the Senate to find out their views. They said, we will find out their views. At the committee meeting, we are finding out their views. She said, we are going to do this. And nearly the day was to be carried away by what she said and all that. Nobody opposed it. Nobody accepted it. Even those people who were saying, oh, we are second, 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 now you done all the rest of it, they don't believe.
But isn't that an unusual procedure for her to present a decision rather than to have a discussion within the party on the issue and reach a general decision?
Hmm?
Wasn't it unusual for her
yes.
to take the decision on her own instead of consulting the executive committee?
I suppose if she tries to take the views of the SLP committee, we can demand them in the SLP committee, and nothing, she would go on with the breach. So she took up the other day.
Perhaps she was trying to break up the ULF. You see, at this stage, they had formed a United Left Front.
Quite possible.
And she thought, we'll take this group in.
They had formed a United Left Front.
We'll take them in and break it up.
Yes. Left from there was at that time. And somebody, myself, suggested that the best thing is to break up this. And there was a danger of some SLP people joining the ULF, people like Langaratna and other people.
When the cabinet was reshuffled, did you remain as a minister?
What?
When the cabinet was reshuffled,
yes.
did you remain the Minister of Health?
No. By that time, already cabinet had been reshuffled once. And I had taken up, I had come back as local government home affairs. It is both. So, by the coming in of LSSP, when the cabinet reshuffled, my position did not change. I was just there. Yeah.
So how did you get on with these three new ministers
yeah.
when they came into the cabinet? Chamli, Munsinghe and NM.
I didn't get on very well with NM. Of course, LSSP people always have their own way. Their constituency, their whole idea, is to bring up the party.
Were there many cabinet clashes between, say, C.P. De Silva and these three?
Well, there were. In fact, C.P. De Silva used to argue about certain money wars that he wanted, and with a number of opposing.
Mrs. Bandaranaike must have been in a difficult position. Did you feel that she was taking their side?
She was in a difficult position, very difficult position at that time. Okay? And then when the Minister of Finance proposed to her on certain ground, of course she said, what should be done? There's no money. That's what that means you do.
What about the toddy tapping business? Wasn't there some...
That was a crowning fight at the government. Mrs. Bandaranaike was taken over. Now, this excise matter was one of mine, my department, as Minister of Home Affairs. This was an idea brought out by Mrs. Vivian Gunawardena, which is Free Dodding. Then, N.M. Pereira included that in there.
But did he consult you before doing that?
He never consulted it before that. So, at the cabinet meeting, I said, Madam, excise department is one of my department, so that if it is a matter of policy, it's entirely my business. It should come from me. I should have been consulted. If it's a matter of revenue producing measure, then it's certainly the finance minister's matter. But this project far from increasing revenue of the country, it will decrease the revenue of the country. All the money that you get from the agriculture should go off. So that is a matter of policy. They should have consulted me. I said, I'm going to post it. I gave my reason. I said, once you do this, you see, within 6 months there was one single head of cattle left in my home area, I said.
Head of?
For an area. Single head of cattle.
Why?
The study, study galore, ugly, everywhere. So that people, when they get done, they want to eat decent things like that. My home area is famous for cattle lifting. Famous for cattle lifting. And they will start lifting their head of cattle belongs to the nearest neighbor. Okay? And they take the toddy in pots into the area, jungle area, slaughter his cattle, and eat them and all the rest of it. With the result, agriculture will suffer. That's one thing I said. And you will never be able to control. There will be a tavern under every coconut tree, I said. And there are three or four coconut trees, there will be a tavern. Then you say that you are going for it. A man might get a permit that cut one tree and in an area which is far away from the public thoroughfare, you see, a man he will cut 25 trees. How will it stop it? Unless you have an army of excise officers, unless you have got about 5 lakhs of excise officers, you can never stop it, I think. You can never stop it.
But I thought this system was conceived as a means of stopping the manufacture of kashipu.
Then Mrs. Mandanda asked me, how do you stop kashipu? I said, madam, you will never stop kashipu by this way. This is not the way to stop kashipu. They thought the way to stop kashipu is giving the people a motor drill. Giving the people a motor drill. That is how. I said, you can't stop kashipu. I said, so kashipu, by your means, bring down the price of rest by your means. Bring down the price of rest. I suggest that myself. Reduce the, and inter issuing. Issuing half of it, or even quarter of it. Issue half of it. Did you bring the price of, erect 5 rupees a bottle, still the government would lose 5 rupees a bottle, or 6 rupees a bottle. But then they did accept what I said, man, about the stock of traffic, you can never let it go by this way. They did accept what I said to about the stock of traffic. You can never get it by this way. They did accept what I said. Finally, then the Buddhist priest came forward against this matter and they went on and went all over the country and went on. Then they withdrew that project, but then tremendous amount of damage had been done to the party.
Did you have a special cabinet meeting to consider withdrawing this project? This idea?
About the withdrawal?
Yes.
No, quietly they withdrew it. Quietly they withdrew it.
What about the press bill? What was that discussed in cabinet and what led the government to...
What is that?
Press bill.
Press bill, oh yes, discussed in cabinet. Because press was all along against the SNSD government and in Chitra and out of Chitra they used to attack. So the press control bill, you see, I think it was a good measure, as even the present government admits it. Press control, Rishit Nandan Nagar told me, this press control bill is one of my subjects. Huh? So, it will have to be brought up in the Senate. You must get it through the Senate AP, because I was the leader, before she was going abroad for some country. Before you go there, you will have to put it through. And I put it through the Senate. He proposed it very strongly, you will be people, but I had the majority, I put it through. He went up to the House of Representatives. Somehow or other, CP did not take it up at the proper time, and then on some technical point, you see, some objection raised by some member for Ambattur, last one, Rajapaksa, he lost it. We couldn't present it. We couldn't move the first meeting that way.
But wasn't very badly organized. There were about 12 drafts brought before Parliament before.
Like, I think did CP de Silva did it deliberately. That's what I think. Even at that time, Sibhila must have had the idea. Because after that,
But who was, which ministry was responsible for drafting?
Hmm?
Which ministry drafted it?
It was drafted by the Little Justice. Yes, Little Justice.
I was wondering whether any people in the cabinet opposed the idea.
What?
Did anybody in the cabinet oppose?
Nobody opposed it.
Not even people.
Not even Hindu Chilla. Nobody opposed it. It was only when it went to the House of Representatives, you see, they did not take it up at the proper time or something or other on some procedural matter. Lost it. Then, when we lost it, then we did the mistake. We wanted to take over the whole place. Government won't take over. That was a mistake. We should never have done it.
Why?
Because taking over the press is not a thing that any government in the world can do. But the moment you take over the press, that means the government puts itself into the position of a dictatorship. In that term. On that term, I said, I don't think so. But anyway, they after the bill, and cabinet also decided that they couldn't bring it up before Parliament.
But isn't press control virtually a takeover?
Huh?
Isn't press control?
Yes.
Virtually a takeover.
Virtually takeover? No. Press control is not established a press council into before which all matters. Now that's actually libel people at will. No. But such way, the people don't go to court because they have to spend a lot of money and spend time there on the court. They don't go to the money. Such thing can go to before the press council.
Yes. But if you have a press council which is like the Public Service Commission, it will be a government institution.
Well, not necessarily. It all depends upon the press council, the power of the press council. And the petitions of my country, I think that's a good idea.
What is your view on the relationship between the state and religion?
Between?
The state, the government,
yes,
and religion. In this case, of course, the majority religion, Buddhism.
Relationship between the state and religion.
Yes.
And religion. What I think is, government, the relation between the government and the state and religion must be limited. That there should be no interference with the government of any country. But there should be no interference with the religious observance of an individual. Religion or religion must be allowed to exist side by side. You see? And Buddhism has been neglected. Chief Buddhism is of neglected kingdom. Give Buddhism certain privileges. But as for government becoming sort of a state, the Buddhism or any religion becoming a state religion, it should never be done.
Why?
Because, and now today, you see, at that time, what are you going to do by making Buddhism the state religion? What's the change that you are going to make from this? I oppose that actually in the cabinet. If suppose you say that Buddhism shall be the state religion, what is the meaning of that? All you can do is to start the President and Parliament by observing functions. You can do it even now. Buddhists can observe functions, Christians can observe their own religion, Muslims can do the same thing. But there's nothing to do that. Nothing to do that even now. And the moment you see, you make Buddhism or any religion the state religion, then you are going against the precepts of Buddhism itself. Buddhism does not agree in compelling some particular person to do a certain thing. Buddhism is a free religion. Buddha, when he preached it, he said, "This is what I say. If it appeals you, don't accept it. Otherwise, don't do it. Don't accept it." That's what he said.
But don't you think that in practice now, Buddhism is almost a state religion, because ministers, when they open any new building or school, quite often observe Buddhist religious ceremony.
Yes.
As part of the government.
Buddhist area. Yes. When you go for a meeting, even during our government, when you go to a meeting, you observe function before you observe these things. But the one thing this government did was in making 4 days for using Saturday and Sunday, which I think was a foolish mistake. Mm-hmm. Personally, I'm a Buddhist. I think I'm a very good Buddhist. But still, I think most of the people in this country do not observe, do not set apart that 4 holiday to religious observances, excepting very few people.